Started.
Roger. All right, we'll get started in our Bible study. Of course, we'll start with prayer request. I'm looking through some PMs now from Lisa. And she's given me, Jethco had turned in about this explosion on the offshore oil rig. 11 people considered missing and feared probably dead. But anyway, two of those people work with the company that his father works for. So let's remember those people in prayer. Also, I think Witch Doctor had a prayer request. Also about his job. I'd like for it to remember me and my job. A lot of things going on. And just trust in God to lead us through those things. Has anybody else got a request you'd like to make known?
I got to pray, Scoots. Just, you know, life right now has been, just this last month or so, has been real busy for me. And I just like to thank God for, you know, when I went to school, safety and travels, and thank him for the time that I had with my family that I hadn't seen. Some of them I hadn't seen in, wow, 15 years, maybe 20 years, some of them. Some of them I had never met before, two nieces. And I just like to thank him for giving me that time, taking care of my family while I was away, and then bringing me back to my family and my job that he has provided me safely. And just get me back into the swing of things.
Amen. Also, this Mark Rondo, I think I say that correct. That's Lego Man from BOC. Remember his family.
My faux brother's wedding's coming up soon.
Roger. Anybody else? All right, if not, I'm going to read ahead.
One more praise, Scoots. Another thing I'd like to thank God for is just getting us all back together. We took a break there for a while. Things kind of slowed down. Participation dropped. And I'd just like to thank him for getting us back together, getting Bible study started up again, and getting some action back in the clan. Because I really did miss everybody while they were gone.
Amen to that.
Also, Zodiac coming back, too. We attempted. I think I haven't seen him since that one day, but hopefully he comes back officially.
Guys, I'll be right back.
Roger, Pope. Alright, if there's... Is there another?
Sorry, I accidentally hit control.
Alright. We'll go ahead and open with prayer. And I'm going to read what Lisa's not able to be with us tonight due to some family activities. But she has sent these prayer requests to me, and also she's written out a prayer that she's written out. I'd like to read that for her tonight on her behalf. So if you'll bow with me, it says, Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all together this evening to study your word. Please give us wisdom to learn from this study. We ask that our spiritual heart, mind, eyes, and ears be opened. It is our wish that we honor you during tonight's study. We ask in your name that you keep Mark Rondo, Lego's family and friends, in your thoughts and prayers during this time. A young man called home to your loving arms on Sunday, April the 18th, after a serious car accident. Please continue to watch over Scooters. He's got a lot going on in his life right now. Each time he's tempted to take on more than he should, we pray that you'll help him gain new perspective about what's really important in life. When the pressures come and he's done all he should do, let him roll over his worries and place them in your faithful hands. Please replace the stress in his life with his security in you. Congratulations to all our members who've received promotions, and please continue to guide them in their new roles in the clan. Together as a unit, Lord, we ask for you to continue to watch over us all, guide us, protect us. It's our wish, Lord, that you continue to remind us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 All right, James chapter 1 is where we're at tonight. I think we mentioned the book of James last week when we were in 2 Timothy. And James deals a lot with Christian living, you know, how that we should live as Christian people. And so we're going to do chapter 1 tonight. I don't know. Maybe we'll do the whole book. I don't know. But we'll start in chapter 1 tonight and read it and say a few words. It reads like this: James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth off, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. All right, you've heard the reading, and hopefully you followed along with us. Has anybody got a thought to start us out? It starts out there, of course, James is writing, and he says to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, and that's basically just saying, you know, when we fall into all different kinds of temptations, not necessarily a diver that would dive into the water, you know, but just diverse temptations, all different kinds of temptations. It says to count it all joy, and it sounds kind of silly. But you know, when we fall into those temptations and our faith is tried, then that's how we grow in our faith in the Lord. You know, if everything always went good and we never had to face any trial or tribulation, would never grow in our faith in God. So we should count it joy that when we fall into those temptations, to know that we'll grow through them if we'll just keep our faith and trust in God. And certainly I've found that to be true in the last couple of weeks with some things that have gone on and some accusations, and had my name smeared in the mud and gone before some investigators and things like that. But it has done nothing but make me stronger, and it's done nothing but make me trust more in the Lord. And so I just thank the Lord for carrying us through those times. I don't know about you guys, but I certainly need work in the patience category. I don't have near enough. Always seem to let things get to us too quick. But it says to let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I certainly need more patience. It says if any of us lack wisdom, just ask of God for that wisdom. I think it's wisdom in anything, not just wisdom of the Bible or wisdom of a situation, but I mean wisdom in anything. Before that we became parents, I just prayed and asked the Lord to give me the wisdom to know how to raise a child and what to do. And I mean, there's still times, that the kids cry and you don't know what's wrong with them. You don't know what to do to help them. But God gives you the wisdom you need in anything that you face, whether it's your job or family life or wisdom of His Word. He'll give you the wisdom you need in the time that you need it, pertaining to His Word, reading the Bible. Many people will read the Bible and they won't understand a passage of Scripture that they read. And too many people just give up. They say, well, I didn't get it. I'm just going to quit and not read anymore. But, when we read the Bible and we don't understand something, read it over again. And if you still don't understand it, read it over again. And, we have to pray sometimes and ask God to reveal the meaning of His Word to us. And what I have found through the years of my reading and studying, the Bible never gets old to me. It doesn't matter how many times we read it. It seems like God's always got something new and something different, even from a passage of Scripture you've read 100 times or more. Just sometimes I'll read something that I've read so many times, and He'll just reveal something completely new that I'd never thought of in my life. And I think that's just what stands out about the Bible to me more than any other thing. Any other book, you read and, you can read it one time and you've got the gist of it. But God's Word is just, it's just always new to me every time that I read it. But anytime we don't understand it, we certainly need to ask God to reveal it to us. He'll reveal it to us in His time and His way.
Scooter, I just got back. What are we covering today?
James 1.
Thank you.
I like what you just said, Scoots, too, with verses 2 through 8 kind of go to what you were just talking about. And I like how it reminds us to ask, but when we ask, wait for the answer. Don't ask, but then doubt whether you'll get an answer or not. You will get an answer.
Right.
You just have to wait for His time.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes His answer is simply no.
Amen.
I've had that happen before. But, Pete, of course, there's not very many of us in here, I guess, old enough to remember Garth Brooks when he was big in the industry, but he had a song called Unanswered Prayers, and it's got a good meaning behind it, and I love the song, but it's, I mean, the title of the song is false. There's never an unanswered prayer. God will always answer your prayer no matter what you pray, no matter when you pray it. He's going to answer it. Sometimes it'll simply be no, and sometimes he won't answer it just exactly the way you want it or the way you prayed it, but he'll answer it in his time and his way because he knows what's best. And sometimes it's hard to realize that.
That always reminds me of that one MASH episode, never, the one guy's shell-shocked and he thinks he's Jesus, and he says sometimes the answer is no. But he does hear all prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Penguin, I was just going to bring up the same thing. Until that episode, you know, and so many people, we assume that our prayers are unanswered. And like when he just said that, it was just so obvious that, yeah, sometimes the answer is no.
And sometimes, you know, God, you know, we'll pray for something. Maybe it's, you know, just something that we want in our lives, a physical something that we want. We just think we've got to have it. We just can't live without it, you know. And we'll actually pray and ask God for it. And sometimes, you know, he'll give us those things. And then when we get them, you know, we find out, you know, we didn't need it. And after we've got it, we realize we don't want it. It's doing us more harm than it is good. And, you know, sometimes I think God's got a sense of humor. I believe that. And sometimes I think he just has to show us sometimes that, you know, maybe we prayed for it and he wouldn't give it to us. And we kept praying. Finally, he said, all right, I'll just give it to you. And then we find out, you know, we really didn't need it. And it's like God saying, you know, I told you so. But I guess that's just the way we are as humans.
Yeah, it's like we have no concept of what we really want. It's this it's gratification. Or God will grant us, maybe not the specific, but grant us the opportunity to achieve or reach or obtain what we want.
Yeah, you know, I know I've got friends and know people that have wanted bigger, nicer houses. You know, I think we all want that because it's just human nature that we want to be, you know, it seems like we want to be a name in society. We want to be known, you know. Nobody wants to be a loner. We all want people to like us, and one way of doing that is to appear to have money and appear to be well off. And so I've known people that wanted bigger houses and nicer vehicles, and you know, they prayed for a long time and didn't get it, and finally the opportunity arose and they were able, you know, to get the financing to get the bigger house, but then they couldn't keep it long because they couldn't make the payments, you know. And it's just like, well, you know maybe God was trying to tell you when he wasn't answering the prayer that way. He was just telling you no, and you know, we were just too tied up in ourselves to see it. But sometimes he'll let us have things that we don't need, and just kind of show us that he is still in control and knows best.
I'm glad you just brought that up, because we just went through a situation like that at a bigger apartment here. Kind of made itself available, but and we thought we were going to go for it, and it would be nice, you know, to have the extra room. It was another bedroom, so it would have given us more room for the kids and whatnot. But both my wife and I decided that if it was supposed to happen, that it would come pretty easy. And as we went through it, things just got more and more difficult. And I had my wife put together a list, because I kind of disagreed with her changing her mind. She was all for it at first. So I had her put together a list of pros and cons. And her con list outweighed the pro list enormously. So we decided not to do it. And I'm really glad we did now, because it could have done just what Scooter was just talking about. It could have put us in that position where we would have been not as, I don't know how to say it, not maybe not as secure as we are now.
Yeah, yeah, there are times where you think it's the right thing, but it's like you're grasping at straws, and it's like an uphill battle, and everything just is falling apart. And that's like when you step back and realize maybe this isn't meant to be. Whereas, like you said, it's either easy or things just seem to fall in place. It's like this predetermined path that just you just walk into it. And you know, I think it's hard for us to see that a lot. It's I want this no matter what, right? And you think it's like, oh, we could do this, and 6 months down the road, it's, oh boy, not the right choice. And that's I guess, you know, that pro-con list helps, that being able to just stop and pray and really pray, not pray for can we have this, but pray for the wisdom to, is this what we really want?
And, you know, people joke and they say hindsight's 20/20, but looking back on some of the other situations that I've done the same thing, where I just said, you know, look, if it's supposed to be, it's going to happen. And there's not going to be these impossibilities that seem to pop up. And my job was one of those, to where all these impossibilities started popping up. You know, and it was like, man, you know, is this not supposed to happen? But almost as quickly as they would pop up, they would disappear. Like these things would pop up and just seem impossible to me to overcome. And I was just, you know, I'm not going to get this job. But like the next day, there'd be a solution. And I mean, it even came down to, there was some paperwork that I needed completed. And when I started the paperwork, I was told by the experts that it was going to take 75 days to process. And I couldn't start the job until this paperwork was completed. A week later, the paperwork was done. And they were asking me when I could finish up the rest and start the job.
Just yeah, when it's up meant to be, it's amazing. I think the toughest thing to figure out is, and I battle with, is not everything in life is easy. You do have to work for it, but trying to figure out when it's hard work to achieve what you want, or the hard work of trying to obtain what you really shouldn't have. Does that make sense? I have difficulty with that. It's well, nothing in life is easy, so it's like you try hard, but then all of a sudden you wait, is this hard because it's supposed to be hard, or is this hard because I shouldn't, this isn't something that I should have in my life?
Yeah, I think it's funny, you know, because you're taught when you grow up, you know, what is it? Anything worth having is worth fighting for, and anything you deserve, you got to work hard to get. And, you know, that kind of goes along with what you're saying right now, that, you know, is it hard because it's something I deserve and I just have to work to get it? Or is it hard because God's telling me to go a different direction?
Exactly. It's sometimes like, which is it? Because it's like, if you give up, it's like, I you know, it's sometimes I say to myself, am I giving up too soon? So then it's like you're left wondering, what was I supposed to do? And I guess it's like, you know, do you have experience with that and identifying? It's like, well, which was it?
I think those are the times that, you know, it's the hardest to do, but exactly what it was telling us to do when it says to pray and pray with faith and then just wait for the answer. And it is, it's hard. I think, like I said, you know, you're working toward this and you're trying to make a decision. you know, is this where I'm supposed to be going, or is God showing me another direction? And then, even though you know it, and you tell yourself, and you read it in the scripture, pray and wait for the answer, it's still really hard to do, because you're still questioning, okay, am I still waiting for an answer, or did God already give me the answer, go another direction?
It can definitely be hard to decipher, can it?
Which is kind of another thing that's probably hard to get because it's worth having.
I like 13 through 15 there. Also, when it talks about being tempted, and it tells us that God cannot be tempted, and he doesn't tempt anyone. And but we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And I've thought about that so many times. You know, we find ourselves a lot of times in trouble, or I have before, and I mean, just, you know, our life maybe in a terrible mess, and we just don't understand why. And most of the time, when our life is in a complete mess, really and truly most of the time, we've gotten ourselves in that shape. If we just stand back, take a look at it, or I find that in my life, you know, when things are not going well and I just can't get things going. It's just so many times I've brought it on myself. You know, we can blame God, and we can blame the devil, and we can blame family, and we can blame friends or spouses or whatever it is. But most of the time when things are in a mess, it's because we've just maybe gotten away from the Lord a little bit, and not kept our relationship as close as we should, and we just get ourselves in those messes.
If you don't mind, I'm going to read a couple of study notes. It goes right to what you were just talking, 13 through 15. And this one references 13 and 14. It says, people who live for God often wonder why they still have temptations. Does God tempt them? God tests people, but he does not tempt them by trying to seduce them into sin. God allows Satan to tempt people, however, in order to refine their faith and to help them grow in their dependence on Christ. We can resist the temptation to sin by turning to God for strength and choosing to obey his word. I like how they worded that, to grow in their dependence on Christ is one of the reasons that he lets us be tempted. And I know we talked back when we were studying Job about that. You know, Job had to even figure out whether he was, you know, was God doing this to him, or was he allowing it to be done to him? And, you know, we went through that quite a bit about how God doesn't tempt us. He allows us to be tempted as a test, but it's not him doing that to us. And that's another hard one to really think about when it's happening to you. Because you want to know why this negativity is in your life, and you want to know who's doing it to you. And a lot of times when that's going on, I think it clouds our thought and our judgment, and we start wondering if God is doing it to us. And I think that's another tool that Satan uses to get us to that question point. You know, if he can push us to question, is God doing this to me? You know, he gets us one step closer. And then the next note talks about what you were just talking about with the what we come up with for reasons. And it says, it is easy to blame others and make excuses for evil thoughts and wrong actions. Excuses include, it's the other person's fault, I couldn't help it, everybody's doing it, it was just a mistake, nobody's perfect, the devil made me do it, I was pressured into it, I didn't know it was wrong, God is tempting me. A person who makes excuses is trying to shift the blame from himself or herself to something or someone else. A Christian, on the other hand, accepts responsibility for his or her wrongs, confesses them, and asks God for forgiveness.
I like that.
Yeah, I was going to say when you first read it that it was a short chapter, but it said a whole lot. There's a whole lot packed into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're 30 minutes into the study and we've only covered half the verses. I think another 19 down there, where it says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Of course, you guys wouldn't believe it, but for the most part, I'm a pretty quiet guy, and especially through like high school, I wouldn't say much. I wouldn't want to go and talk to the girls. I wouldn't want to be out there hollering in the hallway. I sit back and listen a lot because I think you learn a lot more by listening than you do running your mouth. But there's when I've used this preaching, I've kind of reworded it a little bit to make it fit our times. There's a scripture over in Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 3, where it talks about, there's a time and a season for everything. And in one of the verses there's a time to speak, a time to refrain from speaking. And, to make that fit our times, there's a time for us to speak, and there's a time just to shut up and listen, And I found in my life that what we want to do, or what I want to do as a human being, is when something arises and in my life, and maybe somebody's done me wrong, the first thought runs through my mind, well, I'm gonna do the same to them, or I'm gonna do worse to them, and we just want to fly off the handle right off the bat and get back and get even. But we just need to be more about listening and asking God, how we should handle situations, and less time speaking and trying to run things on our own. And certainly we need to be slow to get angry, because what if God got angry and went off on us every time we messed up? If he done that, he'd have done destroyed this earth and everything on it. But we just need to be better listeners and less talk and more dependence on God.
Here's a note that talks to conversations. It says, when we talk too much and listen too little, we communicate to others that we think our ideas are much more important than theirs. James wisely advises us to reverse this process. Put a mental stopwatch on your conversations and keep track of how much you talk and how much you listen. When people talk with you, do they feel that their viewpoints and ideas have value?
That's probably one of my hardest points, is listening to someone, what they have to say fully before, and then thinking about what they said and developing an answer. Usually the type of person that starts developing an answer while they're still talking, and that's not a good way to go about things.
I think some of that comes from the rush and the expected speed of information of today's world, to where, like you just said, when people used to have a conversation, you'd listen to the whole problem or whole question and then take a moment to digest it and then formulate an answer. But today, people want their answers so quickly that you almost have to start formulating that answer in the middle of a conversation, because when they finish speaking and their question marks on paper, they want your answer to begin. And I know that happens sometimes, and I think that's where some of that comes from, that there's such a rush for information nowadays that you don't get time to digest information and formulate a the whole answer. Sometimes you have to start answering in the middle.
I agree, and it annoys me, because I believe in that. And there are people, their breath isn't even cold. And if I'm sitting there in silence, they're like, well? there's an old saying that the wisest man in the room is usually the quietest. And I'm not sure if it's in Korea as well, if it's all Asians. But I know the Japanese will take that extra time. They'll sit in that silence formulate their answer and then answer. It is amazing. You talk to people and you're just finishing putting that question mark and they're talking. And you're listening going, does this person even know what they're saying? Coming back to the Bible, it's what it's saying is that we're losing the true value. Sometimes we're speaking to speak or speaking out of looking important. And it devalues the person you're talking to. And then what my grandmother used to say, you've got one mouth and two ears for a reason.
That's good.
So yeah, we have two ears because it's more important to listen than it is to talk.
And for those of you that have to attend my meetings, that doesn't count for my yes and no questions. When the question mark is out there, I expect the answer.
There's a guy that I know real well, good friends with. And when I first was getting to know him, he's one of those guys, and I don't know if any of you all know anybody like this, but you can be sitting there talking to him, and while you're talking, he'll turn and walk away. And I mean, just walk off. And I mean, if you're not looking at him and you don't see him walk off, you'll turn around and you'll be talking to yourself. He's just gone. And it used to make me so mad when I first got to know him because, you know, we'd be talking about something and he'd just turn and walk away from me, you know. And it might be 5 minutes or it might be a couple of hours. He'll come back and he'll be talking about what we were talking about. And he'll answer, you know, if I had a question or something. But it used to make me so mad. But I've noticed that I guess that's what he's doing. He's formulating his answer because when he comes back, what he's got to say, he's got some meaning behind it, it just makes you so mad to be talking to him, and then you just walk off and leave you talking. But when he speaks, he's got some meaning in his answer, and I've just kind of learned to accept it. You know, that when I ask him a question, you know, I don't expect an answer right then because I know he'll come back and after he's had time to think about it.
I got another note. It jumps forward to verses 22 through 25 where it talks about being doers of the word, not just hearers. And it says, it is important to listen to what God's word says, but it is much more important to obey it, to do what it says. We can measure the effectiveness of our Bible study time by the effect it has on our behavior and attitudes. Do you put into action what you have studied? And I like that. It's just a challenging kind of note that, you know, and especially since we're sitting here doing a Bible study, it's kind of really fitting.
I'm sure none of us have ever run into anybody or never fell into the category of 26 and 27. When I'd first started preaching and taking this church, I was in Walmart here around home, and I was walking down an aisle, and I'd stop to look at something, and I could hear someone on the next aisle talking, and I recognized their voice, and it was a member of a church that I knew, and just a real distinctive voice, and he was talking to someone, and they were, I mean, just cussing this and that, so I thought, well, I'm going to sneak out of here before I'm seen, you know, because I didn't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that. And so I turned to go down the aisle, and it just happened that when I got to the end of the aisle and made the turn, you know, there stood that person. And when they seen me, they said, oh, you know, Heath, how you doing? Said, you know, how's the church doing? Said, boy, we had a good service Sunday. You know, they just made a 180-degree turn, you know. And I never did tell them that I'd heard what they said, but You know, it's just the best witness that we have is the life that we live. It doesn't matter what we say when we're talking to someone face to face. It's more what we're doing when we don't know they're watching weighs more on them than what we say to them. But I've often thought about that, you know.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's what you do when you think no one's watching that defines your character.
Any more thoughts, questions?
I think we covered it pretty well. Good discussion. There's a thought for you.
It has been a good discussion.
And a decent turnout.
Yeah, I'm real pleased with our turnout tonight. Just seems to have gotten better. You know, we had a pretty good turnout last week, but even better this week. Maybe we'll continue to grow, I hope.
Good to hear. I know I missed last week's because I was at the church cooking. But I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear it's kind of coming back into full swing. Hopefully it'll continue like Scooter just said.
And for those, I guess, listening to the recording, there's, 8 of us in attendance tonight? That's a pretty good turnout.
And I do appreciate the members that I was gaming with tonight that were willing to just give it up and come do this. I appreciate that, guys.
Oh, we're still gaming. You just can't see us.
Okay. All right. But see, that's not important because God can. And that's what we've been discussing.
Nope. Busted.
Reading and gaming. Now he's got talent.
God's a hacker.
He does. If he can shoot and read the scripture at the same time, he's got talent.
So that's why everybody's got these dual monitors.
What he did was he said it before he was playing, and he recorded it and just held the recorder up to the microphone.
There you go. Any more discussion on the chapter?
Not for me.
All right, if not, someone will dismiss us in prayer.
I got you. If you'll bow with me. Lord, I thank you for this time that you've brought us together for this study. I thank you for the discussion. I thank you for the people that participated and the people that gave up time that they might be doing something that, you know, they felt they would enjoy better, or, you know, just sometimes we get busy and we don't stop to take the time out to do this. And I thank you for the willingness of all the participants here, and for those that couldn't be here, that they get to listen to the recording and glean something from it and possibly come back to us and add something to it that we missed, Lord. I thank you for rekindling the fire of our Bible studies and participation and activity in our clan, Lord. I thank you for this group of people that we have put together, for the support that we provide each other, and the mentorship that goes on here, Lord, and the guidance, the everyday chats that just do so much that people don't even recognize sometimes, that just a kind word and someone to listen when you need to vent something or just discuss a subject that you might be confused on. I thank you for the group that you've put together here of people that we do that for each other on a daily basis here, Lord, and I thank you for the technology that makes it possible. I thank you for the technology that brings families together when they're physically miles apart, but they can see each other and talk to each other, and I know that was you that did that. Lord, I thank you again for rekindling our Bible study. I pray that it continue to grow, continue to get strong, and that we can just put the word out there, Lord. Bring in new people and get them fired up and learning and adding to the Bible study, because that's what we gain every time a new member comes to the Bible study, Lord. We gain another point of view. We gain another note. We gain just another piece of wisdom that we may not have even seen, Lord. As Scooter said tonight, Lord, we gain something different each time we read your word, Lord. It's not a one-time read. It's a constant study. And the more people we add to that study, the more we glean from it, Lord. And I thank you for this time, and I thank you for the health and the willingness of the people that were here, Lord. These things we pray in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.